Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
123 Swanston Street in Melbourne CBD. A tiny door leads up a rickety flight of steps, nowadays to a Hare Krishna restaurant. Across the road, the Melbourne Town Hall looms overhead. But back in the 1950s, if you walked up the rickety flight of stairs, you'd enter another place entirely, a dimly lit narrow room with mauve chairs, a muralled wall, and filled by the creme of Melbourne's bohemian and camp crowd. A time when homosexuality was still considered perverse activity, the Vice Squad was raiding private parties and anti-communist sentiment was rife. Here, though, there was nothing but fabulous people, the fresh aroma of Threepence coffee, and a glamorous blonde dressed in an exquisite suit as she walked along the azure carpet and made sure her clientele were made to feel safe in a time of isolation. This opportunistic and, by her own admission, outrageous character leapt on a chance to make a safe haven for her fellow camps, and in doing so developed a wonderful culture where same-sex attracted and gender-diverse individuals could be themselves without oppression. That woman was Val Eastwood, the first to be profiled in our first ever episode of Rainbow Crusaders. Val Eastwood was a woman of many talents. During her life, not only was she the proprietor of four separate restaurants and cafes, she also, earlier, worked at the Victoria Barracks during the war as a swimwear model and as one of the many Betty Lees who ran Betty Lee's Dancing Academy. But it was her work as a dancer and her influence in the theatrical scene that led to her eventual role as the collector of Melbourne's burgeoning bohemia. Working at the Tivoli, Val met her first girlfriend, a discovery which, although surprised her, did not rock her to the core. In an interview with Ruth Ford back in 1995, she explained the feeling of meeting her first girlfriend. This is an reenactment.
I was aware of homosexuality. How did I feel? I didn't think much about it. It was just one of those things that happened.
Although not aware of many gay people, she soon became accustomed to the theatrical crowd of the New Theatre and Contemporary Dance Company, where she met more of the camp community, as well as the communist members of the New Theatre's political productions. While here, Val moved into an apartment on Collins Street above the Tivoli Theatre and started to have parties after the shows with the rest of the theatre people, primarily composed of the camp community, who outside of their house would be living in the closet. The very random suggestion by the landlord of 123 Swanston Street started her next business venture to provide a haven for gay people.
I was approached by a Greek gentleman in Swanston Street one day. He had a mezzanine floor that he couldn't do anything with and said, "Would you be interested in it for any reason?" I just suddenly thought, I'll open a coffee lounge for gay people and they can pay rather than be on the floor at home all the time.
In the early 1950s, the 6 o'clock swill was still in effect. People would be clamouring after work for as much as they could drink before they were refused. So establishment of coffee houses was popular for the time. But Val's success in the face of, at the time, stiff competition was a mixture of gay and theatrical clientele, a place people could be themselves, and above all, extremely good coffee.
My father, who was pretty elderly then, he was a stickler for very good coffee. He was highly temperamental about it because everything had to be spot on.
Barry Humphries fondly remembered Val's during his formative years as a comic and actor. Before the appearance of the housewife giga star Dame Edna Everage, Barry would frequent Val's after rehearsals, describing it as
a wicked establishment. The walls were hung with black fishnet, the lights were dim, and the toasted raisin bread lubricously buttered. Val was a pretty blonde who dressed like a boy, an Australian garçon.
Val's magnificent appearance was a highlight of the social scene in her coffee lounge. Wearing an Italian-tailored suit, sporting a silver-topped cane, she was of the theatrical masculine style of dress. However, this expression of breaking from gender role was beyond the confines of a cafe, waltzing up and down Swanston Street as well, the only difference being the addition of a Homburg hat. Her cafe was in blooming business. Word of mouth spread that this was the place to be if you were homosexual. According to Val's friend and regular at her coffee lounge, the dancer Noel Tovey, it became a calling card to refer quietly about other camp members of the community.
It was synonymous with being gay. Well, gay wasn't used in my day, but it was synonymous. People used to say, oh, he's the sort of boy that goes to Val's, or she's the sort of girl that goes to Val's.
Val herself made it known that it was important for the homosexuals of the time as it pulled them from isolation.
Lost my heart, but what of it? He is cold, I agree.
A lot of people said that. They thought they were the only ones in the world.
But I
the cafe wasn't only the place for the homosexuals, becoming the after-show place to be, feeding the bohemia of Melbourne, and the youth subculture of bodgies and widgies, the subculture of androgynous dress being influenced from the rock and roll records now streaming into Australia from America.
Spring to him and long for the day when I cling to him.
Everyone was being outrageous at the time. It was a bit of a rebellion against the dreariness of Melbourne, which it was. And as long as you could be a bit different, being something different, that was the way to go. If it happened to be that you were gay, you had a beginning, you know?
Joy 94.9. Val's Coffee House was a success not only locally, but internationally. Parisians visiting Australia were told of the slice of bohemia up the steep, narrow stairway run by, as Barry Humphreys put it, an Australian garçon. The bodgies and widgies smearing the boundaries, straights and camps intermingling, while the aroma of fresh coffee permeated the air. It was so successful that after bargaining with the initial landlord, she opened the ground floor as well for Val's Cafe No. 2. And here, Val made her stand in the stiff coffee house competition, the addition of live performance. Noel Tovey talked to us of the Sunday concerts that came to highlight Val's coffee house.
We'd have a concert on Sunday nights, but I mean, that was just her friends getting up and performing. There was a small grand piano, or, well, I think it was maybe a half-sized grand, and a huge lesbian named Tony would play. And she played every night.
Initially just hiring a small trio, soon the productions got grander for Val's Sunday night concerts with a mixture of music, drama, and in the case of Frank Thring, dirty poetry. The Chamber Music Orchestra from Melbourne University soon was asked to assist, but when the college got wind, it made the cafe out of bounds for all of its students. This didn't dissuade any of the students who were clamouring to get their slice of rebellion.
The highlight was the concert. Terry Veal, who originally worked at Myers, had the most magnificent soprano voice. He came as a cook and then was the star of the Sunday concerts. We did this send-up of a scene from Carmen. The male lead was played by a very funny woman called Judy Bryan, and she was only about 4 feet tall. Terry played the female lead, and he was about 6 foot two. It was very funny stuff. But where
is your heart? With all the variety of people who attended, it was a place, first and foremost, that had freedom for people.
You might have been sitting there waiting for somebody to come. You'd get up and they'd flamboyantly kiss each other. They just behaved naturally, which was good. Pretending that I'm someone else.
It was therefore not surprising that Val's Coffee Lounge didn't actually attract the attention of the Vice Squad. Being in close proximity to the police station, it seems that although they were so close, the police were more cooperative, unusual for a time when there were many raids of gay and drag parties.
a couple of boys might have turned up in drag, but it was very rare because it was too dangerous. They were certainly victimised by police, but never at the coffee lounge, because after all, what were we doing? Drinking coffee, not even grog. With each song, remember sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky, so let your head down and go on and cry. If your heart aches, seem to hang around too long, and your blues.
Val's Coffee Lounge continued for the next 5 years. But although she left the premises in 1956, Val continued to feed and water at Cafe 31 in St Kilda, Cafe Ad Lib in South Yarra, and in the 70s, Val's restaurant in Hawthorne. Even though it was not as revolutionary, the gay clientele still gravitated towards Val, being a place that was welcoming.
People used to sit there all night, talking and having heavy conversations, or terribly outdoing each other with their wonderful repartee. I think one of the nicest things anyone ever said to me was a lovely man who became a dress designer and made beautiful clothes. When he used to come to the coffee lounge, he was only in his teens, and he said to me years later, "You absolutely saved my life. You may not know it." That goes for a lot of other people.
They try to tell us we're too young. Too young to really be in love. They say that love's a word we've only heard, but can't begin to know the meaning of. And yet, we're not too young to know this love will last, though years may go. And then someday they may recall we were not young at all.
Val Eastwood wrote many short stories, which all linked to her past and showed her spirit as a strong-willed and eccentric woman who, despite living in an age of severe restrictions, created a refuge for all of her fellow gay people. These stories, as well as the interview used for this program, is available in the book The Travelling Mind of Val Eastwood. Val passed away in 2009 in a nursing home in Geelong at the age of 82. Graham Willett of the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, who wrote her obituary, attended her memorial service, which was held at the Melbourne Town Hall, where they overlooked the site of 123 Swanston Street, where she fostered a community looking for validation for their existence. For Val, homosexuality was nothing to be ashamed of.
My mother did say, "Don't let a man touch you, you'll catch a disease." Maybe that coloured me.
Thank you, Liz, for listening to Rainbow Crusaders. For Val Eastwood, her life has been filled with creating a community that hopefully will foster for the new generation. It's interesting to see nowadays the way that gay clubs and gay communities work. You often look back and see how these communities were fostered completely in secrecy. And for Val, it was a mixture between the straight and the gay. So it was a huge collection of bohemia. And I mean, we heard a couple of these interviews today from Noel Tovey and from Val Eastwood, which was reenacted by Kylie, as well as the bit from Barry Humphries, where I pretended to do Barry Humphries' voice and failed miserably. The great thing, I think, about discovering about Val Eastwood was the complete lack of shame that she had and the complete right that she felt. And a lot of the times when I was reading the interview, it was always just such a matter-of-fact scenario. We're going to be continuing on for listening to a little bit from another beautiful song, which was The Rock Around the Clock from the 50s, which was marked the end of Val's time there. And we'll be joined very shortly afterwards by Query at 12:30. Thank you very much for listening to Rainbow Crusaders. I'd like to say a huge thank you to Graham Willett, Noel Tovey, Kylie and Ruth Ford, the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives. And next week, please join me at 12 o'clock when we look at Toonan versus Australia and the sodomy laws of the Australian Commonwealth.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.